In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay, we are looking at Lesson 19, Evolution in the Bible. Okay, the image shows a human skeleton, a human skull, the skull of an ape, and the skeleton of an ape. And the caption says, although there are some points of similarity between the skeletons of man and the ape, the differences are numerous and fundamental. As one scientist remarked, evolutionists might as well claim that man descended from any other form of life, because differences between man and the ape are as important as between man and other forms. The ape has neither chin nor forehead, its foot grasped like a hand, its teeth are not arranged in close rows. If it were forced to stand erect, it would be looking upwards, not forward. The average weight of its brain compared to that of its body is as 1 to 70. For man, the ratio is 1 to 35. The ape cannot speak articulately. Okay, so evolution in the Bible. First question, how did the body of the first man originate? According to the Bible, the body of the first man was made by God from the slime of the earth. And the quote from Genesis, and the Lord God formed man of the slime of the earth, from Genesis 2:7. First paragraph, the natural and obvious meaning of these words from the book of Genesis is that the body of Adam was made directly by God from created substance. Such is the traditional Catholic interpretation. The Church teaches that the Genesis account is substantially historically true, but Catholics are not forbidden certain liberty of interpretation. For example, the, quote, day of creation is not necessarily and not probably our 24-hour day. We may consider the work done by God in one day as an immediate act or as the result of a long period of development through the functioning of natural forces. Second paragraph. Holy Scripture was not written for the purpose of serving as a technical reference work in science. The sacred writer's aim was to tell the story of creation for the belief of the people, not for scientific investigation. So, what is the theory of evolution? Evolution is a theory concerning the origin and development of plants, animals, and man. First article, the theory holds that life began with the simplest forms, then developed into more complex forms, until at last the most complex form, man, was, quote, evolved. Some evolutionists hold that the monkey or ape and men both developed from a common ancestor. Darwin's first man was a highly developed ape. Quote, man, when he was in honor, did not understand he hath been compared to senseless beasts and made like to them. Psalm 48:21. Second paragraph. Many speak as if the theory of evolution had been thoroughly and scientifically proved. This is not so. At present, conjectures still largely underlie the theory. Natural science alone can never explain how the first human body was actually produced. Unaided, it cannot explain the origin of inorganic matter or the origin of life in the simplest organisms. Divine revelation alone can give the answer to the origin of man and of all created things. Of course, the theory is inorganic matter was created by the Great Boom, the Big Bang. But, of course, they have no idea explanation what caused that Big Bang. other than material is being compressed until it explodes, but then we have material again, and who created the inorganic material that was compressed, and who or what did the compressing? So we are really the scientists and their theories are in one of those invariable loops, which came first, the chicken or the egg. All right, so the third article, the evolutionists based their theories on the discovery of the so-called, quote, missing link, from which the first man is supposed to have developed, a link between man and the ape. There is no such, quote, missing link. All skeletons discovered have been proved to be either of genuine men or of real apes. Of the distinguished modern scientists who deny that evolution is an established fact, we might mention Fabre, the outstanding naturalist of modern times, Millikan, the great physicist, John Burroughs, the naturalist, Professors Wright, Paris, and Henderson, Harvard, Dr. Dwight, the anatomist, Alexis Carroll, and Sir Bertram Windell. Fourth article. However, even if the theory of evolution could be scientifically proved, even if a, quote, missing link should be discovered, the theory would not be opposed to Catholic doctrine, which merely requires belief in the immediate creation of Adam's soul in the image of God. Any, quote, evolution was surely begun by an intelligent cause, God. All right, so we're not saying it's an impossible theory, but we're saying it's just a theory. It's not proven fact. And if it were capable of being proven, it would not be opposed to Scripture, because Scripture is not opposed to truth. So the dogma of the Catholic Church leaves it open, because it's really not that essential for us to know for our salvation. There we go. What is the origin of the human soul? Oh, wait a minute. One, back up one paragraph. We therefore take literally the book of Genesis, which tells of the peculiar creation of man, of the formation of the first woman from the first man, of the original happiness of our first parents in the state of justice, of their integrity and immortality, of the test to which God put them, of their transgression of the divine command at the instigation of the devil in some form, of the loss of the original innocence, and of the promise of the Redeemer. Okay, so that's essentially what we have to believe there. What is the origin of the human soul? God directly creates every human soul out of nothing. First article, from the very beginning, God has created every human soul out of nothing. Thus, he created the soul of Adam, when after forming his body, he, quote, breathed into his face the breath of life, and man became a living soul, from Genesis 2:7. Every human soul is created at the same moment that one comes to life, at conception. So there we have our argument, I guess, if you will, against abortion, because it is a human life from the very moment of conception. Article 2, man's soul is not produced from some other soul or matter. It is spiritual and simple. It did not exist before the person lived. It did not come to exist after he was already alive. Man's life is due to his soul. As soon as the soul leaves the body, life ceases. Okay, so life begins the moment the soul enters it, and the soul is created by God at that moment that life begins, that he creates the soul and unites it with the body. So they might say the creation of the soul and the body, or the person, he is simultaneously. And we're trying to insist that the body does not exist before the soul is there, because the body comes into existence with life from the very beginning, from conception. The investigation of scientists have discovered a singular universality and sameness in ideas of right and wrong, a moral code in all races and peoples, however primitive. These are universally looked upon as wrong. The wanton murder of one is not an enemy, stealing from one's own group, maltreatment of children, irreverence, incest, adultery. If this attitude resulted from fear of reprisal, why is not murder considered wrong when against an enemy? Why has incest always been regarded as wrong when primitive men surely could have no idea of the evils of inbreeding? One must conclude that this universal conscience comes from one source. Okay, so because men throughout time, in different places, basically has a very similar moral code, that I guess was the moral code written in the heart or the soul of every man at the time of creation. You might refer to it as the natural law that everyone knows and understands, except for those, I guess, who want to deny it and live a depraved life. And so I'm pretty confident in saying that most of these perversions are not really believed until people convince themselves of it. So I think if you see some of these perversions that are promoted in our society today, they're really trying to convince themselves, and they will feel more comfortable with themselves the more people they can get on to buy the lie, or to affirm them in the lie, in the evil that they're promoting. We can start out with divorce. Universally, you are married until death do you part. It's one man, one woman, a husband and a wife. And society has traditionally looked upon divorce as a great evil until somebody wants to become a king and get a divorce from his wife and to marry another, or to live a plurality in marriage, bigamy, polygamy, I guess is the word I was looking for, have one man, many wives, or just the opposite, one woman and many husbands. We see that these ideas have to be, I guess, pressured into acceptance. They don't come naturally. There's something natural in all mankind, no matter how ignorant, how backward, how uneducated, that there is something wrong with these practices. And this is created by God. And I think really that is a sign of the evil of our times, that the world or societies are promoting these as acceptable, and that basically the destruction of marriage. We had a whole list of things there. Maltreatment of children. I think really if I look at what they're doing to children now, exposing them to the transsexual, transgender, the homosexuals, all these different perversions that are being foisted upon our children, encouraging the children to question their own sexuality, their own personality, and to basically call that into question, and then to accept whatever fancy or imagination the child comes up with, and to promote that, to promote whatever lie it is, whatever falsehood, whatever fantasy comes up, we can promote it as long as it is not the truth. The truth is to be rejected or not celebrated. If a little boy stands up and says, "I am a boy, my pronouns are he and him," nobody cares. But when the little boy says, "I am bisexual, multi-something, I'm this, I'm that, my chosen pronouns are they and them, and I am fluid in my gender, I don't believe in the binary," and everybody applauds that. "This is really great. You're special." And so what is the boy who says that "I'm a boy" going to do? "I want to be special too." So he jumps on the bandwagon and it becomes a fashion. And I think those adults who allow this, who promote it, who encourage this, are abusing children. Those doctors who are administering hormone suppressors, who are administering the opposite hormone of the sexuality of the child, the biological sex of the child. I have to watch my terms very carefully here because everything has many different meanings now. Those doctors who mutilate the sexual organs of a child or the breast of a young girl, I think they are doing evil. They are abusing children, and society is standing back and applauding it. So I think this is really a statement of the evil of our times. And I don't see that abortion is much different than sacrificing children to Moloch or to the devils, that society has generally looked down upon as being so primitive and so evil. irreverence, incest, adultery, we can go on and on here with the evils that our very nature tells us are evil and we should avoid. All right, so the universal conscience comes from God, from one source. All right, article number 3 here for the question of what is the origin of the human soul. A man's soul is not derived from his parents. Only his body is derived from them. There is no possible, quote, evolution of the soul, for it is a spiritual substance, not subject to the laws of physical nature, and could not possibly be developed from a lower or material form of life. Manifestations of the soul, like cleverness, talent, traits of character, etc., by which children resemble their parents, are due to the attributes of the body that they derive from their parents, or to training in the family. If one holds a colored glass to the light, the reflection will have the color of the glass, but the glass did not make the sun whose reflection is cast. Is even the mind a product of evolution? The most primitive man is capable of abstract reasoning. The most intelligent beast cannot think in concepts. So the whole evolution of the soul, transmigration of souls, all that is against Catholic doctrine. As I mentioned before, that the soul is created at the moment of conception. At the moment that life begins, God draws forth this soul from nothing. It does not have material parts. It is very simple. Simple not as in stupid, but simple as in having no parts. It can't be divided. It can't be separated. And therefore, it cannot die. And of course, the death of the body is simply the separation of the soul from the body. And the body, because it is material, it is complex. It can be divided, it can be separated, and therefore that's why the body can die, but the soul cannot. All right, and we don't reincarnate, we're not a manifestation of a future or a past person, and our soul is not going to become some different future person. We are the person that God has created us. This is our soul from the moment of our conception and for all of eternity. We will have this soul, and this soul isn't shared with others. It is ours. It doesn't use different bodies. It doesn't get another chance in this life. The life that you have right now, this is it, and it will determine your life for all of eternity. There are really no second chances. If you leave this world as an enemy of God, you will remain an enemy of God forever. And of course, there is purgatory, but purgatory is not a second chance. Purgatory is a place of purging, purgation, washing away, burning away, if you will, anything that is defiling the soul, which is preventing us from getting into heaven. Purgatory is not really the second chance, I think, that so many people imagine, but it is a place of purgation. So if I was an enemy, if I am an enemy of God at the moment of my death, I will not be going to purgatory. But if I am not completely purified of my sins, and I am not an enemy of God, I can go to purgatory for a time to finish purging myself of whatever imperfections that may be staining my soul and barring me from heaven. Okay. How many centuries were there from Adam to Christ? The Church has never given a decision. This question will perhaps never be answered. Article 1. It is generally admitted that the Bible teaches nothing definite on the matter. The line of patriarchs, which it gives with their ages, probably contains many gaps. A man is said to be a son of another, whereas he may only be a remote descendant. In the same way, the Bible speaks of our Lord as the son of David, although David preceded him 1,000 years. Second article, some Catholic theologians state that the age of man may be stretched to 10 or 100,000 years or even longer. Neither scientists nor theologians have come to a definite solution. Okay. So we can look to the Bible for the answers to many of these archaeological, historical things, and come to definite answers, because that's not the purpose for which the Bible was written. And my question to so many of these archaeologists, you know, that says this happened at such and such a time, says you can't know that, you weren't there. You know, and who measured the time? There are people who get really upset, you know, because the Church has set a certain date for Christmas or Easter, and you see that's not the real date. Time is a creature, and how we measure time and how we count it has evolved. It has changed. Which one of the popes redid the calendar and basically lost so many days out of the year, just all of a sudden by decree, we went from one date and we skipped a whole bunch and came to another day. Was it Pope Gregory, I think. So. And so that messed up everything. And I'm very interested in a lot of science and mathematics, and there is a lot of people will show you, teach you methods or tricks to calculate dates. So if you give them a certain date, they can tell you, you know, what day of the week it falls on. But it only goes back to before the calendar was changed. Before that time, you're going to have to recalculate based on the changes that Pope Gregory made to the calendar and to the calculation. In the Old Testament, the Jews, the Israelites, went by a lunar calendar, from what I understand, and so you see most of the Jewish feasts and celebrations are all based on certain lunar months, lunar days, when certain phases of the moon and the lunar and the solar calendars don't match up. Matter of fact, every once in a while in the lunar year, they have to add a whole extra lunar month to adjust to the solar cycle. So how many periods of 7 days there are, who knows? How far back can we go? It's all very fluid, at least in my opinion. So we're asking a foolish question. We're looking for something definitive, something exact, and it's just not there. We're demanding something that is beyond us. Why God has put that beyond us? Probably to humble us, to keep us from becoming presumptuous. And so many people who want to make this exact are looking to fill their pride and their vanity for some reason. My simple answer is, does it matter when I celebrate Christmas? As long as I'm celebrating Christmas on an annual basis, I am giving honor and glory to God. And if it wasn't the exact day. And I said, of course it can't be the exact day, because that was more than 2,000 years ago. If we stop to think about our English language seriously, I'm not, it's not my birthday, I'm just celebrating my birthday. December 25th is not the birthday of Christ, that is just when we celebrate the birth of Christ. Well, when was Christ born? More than 2,000 years ago. You know, what day? I don't know. Pope Gregory changed the calendar, and we no longer use that calendar, and it would be very difficult to calculate anyway, because we have to figure out whether we want to calculate it on a lunar calendar or a solar calendar. Do you want to use the counting of the Romans? Do you want to use the counting of the days as done by someone else? You know, we base our counting on the birth of Christ. And so that's how we calculate. And so the Bible isn't meant to give us these definite answers as to time and place or creation, if you will. One point on evolution that I like to point out is I've looked at many biology books that are science books that are trying to show us the evolution, and we see the similarities of fetuses or embryos, and how the similarity between the chicken and the reptile and the fish and man. If you get down to the smallest fetus, if you will, they look very similar. And they point to this, you see, this proves evolution. We have similar origins because we basically begin with a fertilized egg, and we evolve. And we end up looking pretty much like a fish or a reptile in that very primitive stage of our life, if you will. And in my estimation, this doesn't prove evolution at all. On the contrary, what this proves is that they all have the same creator. It is the same style, it is the same architect, it is the same one who has designed all of these creatures. And therefore we see similarities because it is the same artist. Just as we can distinguish similarities in artwork, if you go to a museum with an expert in art, he will be able to, without reading the plaque, tell you who painted this, probably in what period of time it was painted, where it was painted, what style it is painted in. Based on that, and he can organize all the paintings according to artist, if you will. How does he know this? Because he sees the similarities in the paint, in the style, in the strokes, whatever it may be. There is a similarity across these paintings. And only a fool would say, well, Picasso's earlier paintings evolved and changed, and they produced these new paintings. Well, paintings don't produce other paintings. What we see there is not an evolution, but we see similarities because they have the same artist. And so in the same manner that we see similarities in the embryonic stages of living animals, only proves that it is the same painter, the same artist, the same designer, the same architect, the same creator who designed and brought all these into being. And of course, another argument against the evolution is that we should be able to see these things evolving now. If apes evolved into human beings, we should see that taking place right now. And on the contrary, I would probably argue that we see a de-evolution because we see human beings devolving, not evolving into higher intelligent beings, but going backwards and becoming more ape-like, if you will. More animalistic and less rational. But I don't believe that is physically the case, or is it physically possible? I believe this is just the destruction of man's morality, his outlook, inspired by the devil, who hates God and all that God has created that is good. And so he has to convince man that he is nothing more than a brute animal. And tragically, he's succeeding, or the devils all together are succeeding in convincing us of that. Okay, any questions, comments? Everybody's remaining silent. Very good. All right, we'll end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.